This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every Monday at 3 o'clock throughout the baseball season, and it's brought to you by Miracle, the musical inspired by the Chicago Cubs. Shep in for Mac. It's Mac and Parkins with, speaking of iPads, the legend Len Casper. What's up, Len?
How you doing, guys? Do I sound okay?
You sound very good, and I just want to say thank you for working in the non sequitur into the Cubs Sox broadcast last week.
Man, that was like 6 days ago. That's ancient history now. Yeah, I vaguely remember.
Listen, I mean, I texted you off the air, but now we're on the air, and so I wanted to officially thank you for it.
Well, you know, Benetti kind of, I thought, didn't really get the spirit of it. He tried to actually make a James McCann iPad connection. And I think the point of the whole thing was just drop it in there without any connection, right?
Yeah, you won.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In a game that we weren't scoring and there were no official rules, we decided that you beat Jason Benetti at the game.
Well, Len comes on with us once a week. Benetti comes on once maybe a month or so with us. So, yeah, obviously, if it's a toss-up, we're giving the win to Len.
Speaking of iPads, James McCann.
Yeah. I would have gladly handed him the trophy had he been a little more random than I was. But he wasn't.
Well, we'll
but actually, he did a good job blending it in. It didn't really even stand out.
No, not at all, which is why I heard from way more people about you than him. And so we'll have to find a new non sequitur for when the games are on the south side. But
about doing that is there's a little risk because not everyone is in on the joke. So there are definitely people out there who are thinking, did Casper have a stroke last inning, or what? What in the world is going on? So, see, you got to put something on the line to make a bit really work.
Did you let JD know ahead of time?
I didn't tell him specifically. I just said I am going to drop in something very random, and you'll know when it happens.
Did he?
He kind of chuckled. Yeah, I think he got it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Because yeah, I enjoy, and you're right. Like you laid it out there on the line, but you told us last time that at this stage of your life and career, you don't have too many F's to give anymore, Len.
Well, I probably have more than I let on, but that's the kind of thing that's fun for me. And you know, if you can't have a little 5 second diversion, it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod to some friends, then what's the point in doing the job, right?
100% agreed. There was a lot in that series against the Mets. What do you think you'll take from that series, if anything?
Pete Alonso looks like one of the best hitters I've ever seen. I think that's honestly one of the first places I go. He's got a chance to be really, really good. He already is. I like Jeff McNeil a lot. I don't love their lineup, but those two guys have a chance to be a pretty good 1-2 tandem. You know, the Baez home run yesterday really saved the Cubs' bacon, so to speak, because you lose that game 3 out of 4 would have really hurt. That's not a series you want to lose. It's really not a series you prefer to split, but considering the Cubs, I think, are playing kind of their loosest baseball of the season, and that's not in a good way. I think in the end, to be 3-3 on this homestand, they probably are fortunate.
Yeah, it's that you walk out with a loss yesterday. You're sitting 2-4 and in second place, and the script is entirely flipped on it. On the Baez homer yesterday, and on the Frazier one, the Todd Frazier one on Saturday as well. Neither of those looked like off the bat to me that they had a chance of going out. Now I wasn't at the park. Did the wind help them that much, or is that the old the Super Bowl that's being thrown around this year?
I just assume every deep fly ball is a home run. I think Frazier hit one off the wall for a double. I was surprised it stayed in. We've seen so many off-balance swings. Javi had one the other day, not yesterday, but I think it was Thursday night, where it was just a lunging kind of off the end of the bat swing. And the ball got out to left center, I believe. And there are just a lot of home runs that I don't think would have been home runs in years past. Now, again, guys like Alonso and generally Baez, Those guys are going to hit their home runs, but it's, you know, the Ketel Martes of the world, and even Tommy La Stella, who is a great hitter, but I never thought he was a 25 to 30 homer guy, and that's probably what he'll be this year.
That is insane. Tommy La Stella hitting 30 home runs.
It can happen. He's on that pace.
We're talking to Len Casper here on The Score. We spent a decent part of the start of the show talking about Jose Quintana, and obviously this is just the thing that Sox fans have an opinion on, Cubs fans have an opinion on. We talked to you about the trade at the time a week or two ago. Oh, actually, it was last week when the series was happening. But do you have any theories as to just why he's been worse with the Cubs than he was with the Sox in the big picture?
Well, I think when you do have this conversation in what has been a bad stretch for him, you have recency bias for sure. And you're right. You know, the numbers say that he's been about a half a run worse in terms of his ERA as a Cub than he was with the White Sox. A lot of that is certainly in the last 2 years. I thought he was absolutely terrific at the end of 2017 and ended up with two of the biggest starts the Cubs had in the second half, including his debut with the Cubs in Baltimore, and then he had another great game in Milwaukee later that summer. So I think he helped, you know, the Cubs get to where they got to in 2017. I think durability matters. But right now, he's been basically a league average pitcher, and I think that everyone had higher hopes. I think he did, too. Fortunately, the Cubs have Cole Hamels and John Lester, and when healthy, Kyle Hendricks. Darvish has been better here of late, but I think everyone would say that it's nuanced. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been good enough to this point. And the best thing you can say about him is he's taken the ball every fifth day and generally given them a chance to win. But I think fewer starts like he had his last time out would be good. The one big disappointment I think he would tell you if you had him on right now is the big inning has really been his nemesis.
Yep.
He's had a lot of starts where he'll go six innings, and five of those six innings are crisp. You know, maybe one or two base runners, and then he's got one inning where he gives up four or five runs, and it feels like that sequence kind of ruins his outing.
Has he ever mentioned anything, whether it's scrums after the game or any of it that you've been a part of? His strikeout rate goes up a full one strikeout per nine innings since he's been traded from the Sox to the Cubs. With that, usually your ERA goes down, other numbers go down, and you're a better pitcher. But he's also walking more guys. Has it kind of been like a philosophical change of what he's trying to accomplish on the mound from what you've understood or seen?
I think he's gone away from his sinker, and like just about every pitcher in baseball has worked up in the zone more often, and that means more strikeouts. You're pitching away from launch angle. But if you miss your spot up in the zone, you're going to give up some home runs. You know, I think the command part of it is certainly the biggest concern. You want him to throw more strikes because the last thing you want to do is give up the three-run homer, and that has bitten him at times. But for me, you know, he has to throw the ball where he needs to throw it because he's not really a stuff guy per se. I think the changeup this year, the potential is there for that to be a really good third pitch. He has used it a lot more this season than in the past. But it feels like there are times when he's not fully committed to that pitch and either shakes it off or doesn't throw a fully convicted changeup. But that's one pitch I know Tommy Hotovy really likes from Q, and one that we may see more often as time moves along.
Talking with Len Casper, McNeil and Parkins with Shep in on The Score. What's impressed you most with Adbert Alzolay?
Well, his poise. I mean, he really has a presence on the mound, very aggressive, gets the ball, wants to throw it. The stuff we know is very good, but he spent a long time in the minor leagues getting to this point, and I think he is poised to take full advantage of it, and I think everyone's excited to see him in a starting role tomorrow. In terms of highlights of the homestand, that's absolutely number one for me. I love how his teammates kind of are ribbing him a little bit for the tip of the cap to the fans, but I get it, and I think they get it too, and I think they like him a lot, or they wouldn't be ribbing him publicly the way they are with the tip of the cap when they won the game the other night, and then Caratini when he made that great defensive play.
It's a hell of a series. I mean, Lester versus Tehran tonight, Alzolay tomorrow, Darvish against Keuchel, and then Tyler Chatwood getting a start. There's storylines galore in this series.
Yeah, and the Braves score a lot of runs. One of the best offenses in the league. One of the best players in the league in Freddie Freeman. They've got Acuna, who's 21. They've got Albies, who's 22. They've got this kid, Austin Riley, who's 22. It should be a lot of fun. This could be a playoff preview.
Len, does it feel to you like just big picture, and maybe it's not fair to ask this, given what you said, they're playing the loosest baseball so far this season, but do the Cubs feel like a World Series caliber team to you?
Not yet. I think when Kimbrel gets here, that'll help the bullpen kind of sort itself out. You definitely want Kyle Hendricks back and healthy and pitching every 5 days. But offensively, the overall kind of assessment, I think, is that it's good. It has a chance to be better. They rank, I think, fifth in the league right now in runs scored. We've talked about runners in scoring position. You know, I'm not sure how much that will improve, but they do hit the ball out of the ballpark, and I think their ability to get on base is their number one asset. So I think they're definitely a playoff caliber team. They may be the best team in their division. Right now, I don't think on paper they stack up to the Dodgers. I'm not sure any other National League team does. It's a four-game series. It's the middle of the year. You know, you can't really set everything up the way you want to in terms of starting over with your rotation, but having Lester pitch game one is pretty ideal. So let's see how they stack up against the Braves at home in the end of June.
Is it going to, from your understanding, is this going to be second base for the foreseeable future, a combination of Bodie, Russell, and Descalso? Or is Joe Maddon and company hoping for someone to kind of emerge there and get regular starts there?
I think a little bit of both, Shep. All those guys have gotten reps. He really wants to get Descalso going, and you can't do it with a guy not playing. So I think he'll try to get him in there for a couple of starts this week against certain right-handers where he likes the matchup. But I think David Bodie has really kind of emerged as a guy Joe likes on the field a lot. Russell offensively lately has not been very good. I think the hand is still bothering him. He has let go of the bat on several occasions and just has not looked very comfortable. But he catches a ball, and defensively, you really like having him somewhere on the field. Maybe Baez gets a day off this week, and that gets Russell some reps at shortstop. But, yeah, I think it's a combination of those three. And I think Joe would be very open to the idea of one guy grabbing it.
Did you read Sahadev's piece on Ian Happ?
I skimmed it today, yes.
Yeah,
I did.
I thought it was interesting. Like, they were very specific in what they want him to be working on. And a lot of his quotes seemed to me to be of the mindset of like, yeah, I want to be there. Obviously, I think I should be there. And it seemed to me like he was kind of in conflict with the reason of his demotion, because he's the guy that they were depending on, whether it was at second base, center field, or a combination of the two. That power is something that the offense could obviously use.
I agree with you. And in terms of his mindset, I can only base it on what I read. And like you, you know, a lot of his quotes were about getting back to Chicago and being a Chicago Cub and being a big leaguer. And what I found most interesting is just the idea of, you know, he's working on some very specific things. So in some ways, as we look at his numbers and his results, it may not be about that as much as what the swing looks like and what the hitting instructors and what the front office sees in terms of those at-bats, and if the tweaks that he's made to his swing will translate at this level. The fact that they have waited until the middle of the year and probably beyond, to me, says that there were some significant changes that needed to be made. I think he will be a part of this team here in 2019 and could actually be a big part of it. It remains to be seen. I don't think it's as a second baseman, to get back to our previous conversation. You know, he's still more probably an outfielder than an infielder. But that bat does play when Ian Happ is in a groove at this level, and I think he's going to be a productive big leaguer. It's just a matter of when.
And you expect Kimbrel by the weekend?
At this point, with all else remaining, you know, going well and no setbacks, I think Kimbrel will be here by the latest by the weekend against the Reds in Cincinnati, and maybe as early as Thursday. They may just wait till the Cubs hit the road. We'll see. I would imagine by the end of the week.
What kind of jump, or I don't know, maybe ignition, whatever you want to call it, would the Cubs get from getting a closer in Kimbrel? Because it's their offense has been struggling at times. Second base offensive production has been struggling there. Like, you've seen it when Quintana was dealt for. The Cubs go on a run in 17. A closer, a sure thing at the back end of the game. How much does that kind of either breathe life or kind of ignite the fires for this team?
Well, the one obvious thing it does is it makes it an eight-inning game in terms of your bullpen. So the Stropes and C-Shecks of the world, you know, now they're in the seventh and the eighth instead of the eighth and the ninth. Brandon Kinster, guys like that. Joe knows that Kimbrel's the guy you use in the ninth. I would imagine he won't stretch him beyond an inning early on. He may not want to go back-to-back too often early on. So I think even when you're trailing, and you're not scoring a lot of runs, you're down 2-1 or 3-2, maybe you can keep a game in check and closer and give your offense a chance to come back late, knowing that you've got that big-time closer at the end. The psychological stuff, I think it does matter because they think it matters in the clubhouse. I just don't know how to quantify that in terms of a record or if it helps anybody hit the ball better at the plate. I don't know if we could really say that on the outside looking in. But I think guys say that and they feel it. So whatever effect it has, it just gives them maybe an extra bounce in their step.
Great stuff, Len. Have a good series. It should be a fun one. Thank you. Thank you.
Speaking of iPads, I'll talk to you next week.
You're the man. That is Len Casper for his normal appearance. McNeil and Parkins on the Score Report.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.